You about to get some.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex. B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex, you are now entering the Megacast. The Megacast.
What's up, Ted?
I like how I tried to sign language like explosion and I still went...
I know you did.
Right?
So if you hear that weird like frog sound during Rage Against the Machine, it was the Ted Smith.
Every time we play Testify on the Men's Room...
blows up, doesn't it?
Yes, and selfishly, I can't help myself. I'm always like, where's the text line?
Let me just look and see what people are texting.
Yeah, let me just check it out, see what's going on.
That makes my day whenever I see that, because it's like, oh, cool, people are listening. And we learned on Saturday that people are listening, because
yeah,
holy smokes, man. Thank you to everybody who came out to our big mega party over at Virtual Sports in Tukwila.
Monster turnout.
Dude, when we first started, like, we had capacity for laser tag, which was, you could fit 40 to play laser tag in two games. And we already maxed that. And then as the afternoon went on, we probably doubled that, if not tripled. Not tripled, but we definitely doubled it.
I do like the way it worked, though. I feel like everybody that really wanted to get in laser tag got in.
Yep.
What's it, Augustine and Caesar?
Yep.
Brought in the tamales.
Yep, Augustine's mom or grandma makes them.
Yeah. I just love they were like kind of hold. It was nice. It was exactly what I think I had hoped for, at least. It was like there was people that wanted to do laser tag, virtual reality, and then there was just a group of like nice people that just wanted to hang out. Right. I didn't know we'd have tamales and just like kind of drink some beers and chill.
I just love that they brought them in. Like, all right, we're just bringing in bags of tamales, and that was great. And then props to Sal and Chris from the Not Playing Stupid podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Also listen to our podcast and you know, actually were inspired by us, the podcast and the Mixcast, to create their podcast, which is beyond flattering. They bought a bunch of drink tickets and handed them out to people.
I know. I almost felt bad. I didn't use enough of their drink tickets.
I just love that I'm talking to random people and everybody had the same thing. Like, I've been to other listener parties. I've never been around a cooler bunch of fellow listeners.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, I think it's just a testament to what we're doing and the people that listen. Everybody's cool. There's no jerks.
Right. Nobody's a
Except
jerk.
For Caesar, but I mean, that's okay. We'll let it slide.
Caesar's hilarious.
I love Caesar.
Right?
Yeah. He is the king of saying inappropriate things, and I respect him for that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're inappropriate about the Mexican community, and he is a part of it. Like
that. Yeah, that's what started it, was I was sitting there talking to him and somebody else, and I said, all right, I got to tell you one joke. And he was like, oh, all right, that is funny, even though it's a Mexican joke. And then he just was like, all right, how about this? How about that?
He, as his way of saying hi to me, pretend shanked me. All of a sudden, I feel a hand in my back, and I turn around, and it's Caesar with a fake knife going into my back. I'm like, oh, it's Caesar. Of course. He gives the shank high.
God. And his Instagram is killing me.
Oh, all the food?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't look at his Instagram when I'm hungry.
No.
It makes me angry.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I knew good Mexican restaurants, but it seems like every meal he eats is the best Mexican I've seen.
Right. And it's all like crazy food trucks and all that. Yeah. Caesar's the man. Props to Caesar and everybody who came out. That was a blast.
It was. Such a good time.
So much fun. All right. Well, why don't we just get things going?
And let's remember, Steve, I won air hockey.
Lies. Lies. I'm the champion. So at Virtual Sports, they have... an air hockey game for four. Each
four.
Corner. It's instead of a rectangular rink, it's a square, and each person got a spot. So it was four of us playing, and because you know how like sometimes you're just dominant doing one motion.
Yeah.
Well, Ted happened to be in the direction of the motion that made me my dominant motion. So all I kept aiming for was Ted. And Ted started getting pissed at me. He's like, "Can you stop trying to score on me?" I'm like, "I can't score on the other guy." And going long ways is more difficult. So I just kept trying.
And at this point, I've had some beverages.
No.
Maybe smoke some weed.
Never.
No. And it's like, let's play air hockey. So during the game, I almost get confused. I'm getting scored on at will. But right before the time goes out, I score one goal. And celebrate as if I have won.
And then we find out later, Ted was already eliminated from the game.
Yeah.
Like, when you get eliminated, I guess like a weird little, like a little mini wall goes up in your goal. And so I'm, look, I didn't notice it either. So, I mean, I'm just as dumb as everybody. We're all thinking Ted is just dominating as a goalie in air hockey.
Stuff.
Like, he's stopping stuff that made no sense, like phantom saves. I'm like, why can I not score on Ted? Fast forward to later on in the night when we're hanging out for dinner at Red Robin with MCTP and his lovely lady.
Yum.
Yum. For the food. I mean, that was some weird timing. I said, lovely lady, and you go, yum.
Well, you said Red Robin.
I know.
It's an automatic
I'm
reaction.
Just trying to make it awkward because it was awkward the last time we did a podcast and we talked about her. And she gave me crap about that.
Like, yum.
No. Yum. Well, then they explained to us how this air hockey game worked. And we're like, oh, you're sitting with two morons.
You're right. I just like, I wish I could explain to people the excitement on my face where I'm like, I won.
Yeah.
And then Matt's like, no, man, you were knocked out real early.
You were the first to lose.
Right.
You won it losing.
I won it losing.
Hey, if you're not going to win it, you might as well win it losing.
Yeah. Hey, be first somehow.
And you were.
Right. First in the end or first out.
Yum.
Yum. Like for the record, though, phenomenal dining experience at the Red Robin.
Dude, and there was a moment of panic. So Ted and I, after we're done, we're like, hey, you know, Matt and Tyler, let's go get some food.
Yeah.
And our plan was to go to Red Robin.
Yum.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I pulled up on my phone for directions, and I'm like, son of a bitch, on my GPS, you know, it'll tell you like hours sometimes, yeah, to give you information. It said in red letters, closed. Like, can't be closed. Call it. And it's just an automated phone. And I'm like, it's too loud for me to figure out what the hell the prompts are. So I'm like, ah. I'm like, look, guys, it says it's closed. So then we decide, okay, well, screw it. We can't go. Either we're going to drive 4 more miles, which it shows how lazy we are. We're like, no, we can't do that.
Well, I mean, we're right there at South Center.
Right. It was like literally like 2 minutes away from Virtual Sports.
Yeah.
So we decided, oh, well, let's go try this place called Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who doesn't know what Twin Peaks are, Google it. It's a chain restaurant. It's basically Hooters, but with girls dressed as if they were like St. Pauli's girls.
I would call them sexy lumberjacks.
Sexy lumberjacks and lumberjackets.
Lumberjackers?
Lumberjackers? Lumberjills.
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 And
Twin Peaks is in reference to the boobs.
Oh, yum.
Yum.
So we park, and then Matt's like, hey, man, on my GPS, it doesn't say that Red Robin's closed. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe we should try it. It's only, you know, it's like one more block away. And then so he's like, I don't know. I'm like, he's like, I'm sure Ted was in the car still doing something that might have something to do with stuff. Making a spliff, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe. Allegedly. So then we're like, well, Ted's probably going to just want to... He goes, Ted seemed really excited about Twin Peaks. I'm like, but he was also more excited about Red Robin.
Yeah. Yum.
Thank you. So we open up the door and we're like, Ted, we think Red Robin might be open. And you just looked at us and you're faded at this point. Like,
yeah.
You're just like, well, that's what the plan was, or something along those lines. Get in the car again. Drive to Red Robin.
Yum.
And it was a great choice.
Oh, yeah. Well, you forget to, like, so Red Robin's packed.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, this is great.
It's for adults. You can just go into the bar and get a seat. But
we didn't just walk in. We walked in obnoxious. We passed people while we're all going, adults here. Adults here. We are adults.
Four adults.
Four adults, no children.
Coming through.
We know where we're going, to the bar.
Right. So we ended up getting a table in the bar pretty quickly.
Yep.
And then a tower of onion rings, burgers, fries.
Fried pickles. Ted and I went with the Royal Burger.
Yeah.
If you ask my wife, I got the whiskey barbecue chicken wrap.
I like that. Right? That Royal Red, man.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Yeah.
When that egg, and both of us are, this is example number two why Ted and I are morons. We didn't bother to cut it. So we took our bite and we went straight for the yolk, and it just exploded over our hands.
Yeah, I had a lot of yolk in my beard, too.
We were both just a mess. And then just crushed that and then had dessert.
Yeah.
Oh, had the shake.
Yeah, it was solid, dude.
And what the hell were those things that we got? Those chocolate bars.
Fruffles?
Fruffles.
Fruffles.
Yes.
Yeah. Shockingly good.
Really good. So, but if you get them with a group. Don't get one just to yourself.
Because yeah, they were rich.
Super rich, and there's like five of them. So one is plenty. It's a great experience, though.
It was.
That was one of the best meals I've had in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, granted, I was pretty faded, too, but I don't know if you're going to find more excited adults to go eat at Red Robin.
And we stayed there forever.
I couldn't believe how long we were in there.
We were like 3 hour experience, I think.
Yeah.
It was great. We had so much fun. It was an awesome time. And thank you, everybody who came out. Everybody that we got to talk to, you guys are unbelievable. It was cool to know that what we do, you guys appreciate, because we appreciate the fact that you guys listen.
Oh, yeah. Can't say it enough.
We got to do something up north next.
Next.
Definitely.
All right.
All right. So I don't know where. Maybe we'll do a Red Robin.
Maybe. Yum.
All right. Why don't we get our push-ups out of the way? Ted, I decided to be selfish and get myself pumped.
All right.
For WrestleMania weekend, because, you know, I am heading to Orlando tomorrow. I get on a plane. I'll be broadcasting live for BJ and Migs from Orlando on Friday morning. And there'll be a special episode of the Migs cast coming out either Friday or Saturday, depending on when I can edit it up. Myself, our buddy AJ Francis, former Seahawk, current Washington Redskin.
Nice.
He lives there, so I'm staying in his place. That's right, Terp. Fellow Arsenal fan.
Yep.
So we're going to go and do Radio Row and interview all the wrestlers and put out a special episode of the Migs cast with AJ Francis. And then also, I think we're going to use some of the interviews also on their podcast, Jobbing Out. So there'll be plenty of ways to hear. And also, obviously, there'll be interviews heard during BJ and Migs. So lots of ways to hear the wrestlers.
Oh, Steve, you're going to interview everybody in Orlando?
Yeah. No, I can't. My wife said, if you go to Disney World without me, you haven't seen this kind of anger. It will be unleashed on you.
Steve, doesn't sound like your wife's full of Disney spirit.
I wonder what Mickey would say if he went to Red Robin.
Yum.
All right, let's get ready for the push-ups. This is the theme song to WrestleMania. It's Pitbull.
Give me the green light.
Of course it is.
Right? It's in Florida. Of course.
I mean, they should have had Flo Rida, but whatever. But he was like the...
He's on this song.
God.
And he's there.
Are you going to party at his house?
I hope so.
They play the music real loud.
Yeah. All right, get the heart racing, the blood pumping in the brain.
Functioning.
Get 10, Mega Family.
Oh yeah. Look how we finished on the beat too.
That was great. We timed it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm doing like an old man walk dance.
TED Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
Today's TED Talk, it's a personal one. Actually, this is just a warning. If you need to find a place to live or rent in Seattle, it is so expensive. Jesus Christ, what is going on out there?
I don't know.
Oh my God. It's up till 4 a.m. looking at new apartments to rent.
That bad?
Yes, Steve. It's a nightmare. I mean, no offense, but I don't have a car.
Right.
Like,
I'm offended.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'm not trying to crap on, like, the burbs, like Linwood or Shoreline or anything, but it's just like, I don't have a car. I like to commute on foot. But
even Ballard would be bad for you.
Yeah, trying to find something downtown is just a nightmare. I don't know what's going on. I think the market's going to fall out. Amazon's moved in. It's expensive, folks. That's my point.
All I know is you were telling me the prices. I remember when I was living in Lower Queen Anne, very close to where you're living now.
Yeah.
And apartments, I thought we were like, whoa, that's a lot of money for a one bedroom, $800 a month. And this is like, this isn't that long ago. I'm not talking about like years. Oh, I am talking about years ago, but I'm not like talking about like back in the 60s. Like this is like 10 years ago.
$800.
It's ridiculous how much it's gone up over the years. How do they expect anyone to live in Seattle? It's like San Francisco.
It is, dude. It's unbelievable. And it's just crazy is when I moved into my last place, it was like 2010.
Uh-huh.
So the market was still pretty down and stuff. And it was like, I don't know. The options were plentiful.
That's funny. Yeah. 2010 is when I moved into our house in Puyallup. And I was really like, that was when everything was kind of falling apart. And I'm like, this is the time to get a house. Like,
yeah.
Like, let's just do it. And, you know, whatever. I'm looking at, like, I was curious because we got those new buildings being built around our radio station. I'm like, they just had a curiosity for poops and giggles. I wonder, because it says low 300s, live in here. And I'm like, what is that, like a one bedroom? I go on their website. I click on the floor plans. For the low 300s, that's like a 400 square foot studio.
Yeah, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Right. That's the other issue I have, right? Like, some people were like, you're thinking of buying and stuff. But like for a one bedroom, I mean, you can't. The cheapest one I found, it's only because I know a buddy selling it. It's still like $330, and I was telling Steve, like, I don't know what's, like, I don't want to pump in thousands of dollars every year to rent, but also I don't know.
You don't want.
I just have a hard time spending $330,000 for a one bedroom, like 600 square foot place.
And but somebody doesn't have a problem with that. That's the part that blows my mind. If you're doing well enough to afford that, and it doesn't bother you to drop that kind of coin. It blows my... I just don't get it. Like, how do you look at that and go, yeah, that's totally... That's fair market value. Unless you just... You have no choice but to.
I think it's that, and it's also because you don't care. Like, you're only working... You know, like, a lot of the Amazon people will come in, and they work for 3 years. They get paid a bunch of money, and then they leave. So they don't mind.
Yeah.
Like, they'll just kind of dump the money into those places. But now, too, in Seattle, you're getting, like, Chicago or New York City, and you're getting a lot of the... what do they call them? The ghost apartments or whatever. So all the Chinese money's moving down from Vancouver as Vancouver enacted some laws that try to basically trying to get people that live in the city or work in the city to live in the city. So now all that money is coming down and people just buy these expensive condos and stuff and they barely even use them. So that's what I call them. Like, I think it's ghost apartments.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, for a term.
Yeah.
It's nuts, bro. I feel bad for you. Like, I was like, oh, well, what's a one bedroom or two bedroom in that place right across the street from us? Two bedrooms, like $2 million, over $2 million a year. Not a year, $2 million to buy. And I'm just like, it's still less square footage than my house, which is way less than what you'd have to pay for a studio in downtown Seattle. I have a 2,000 square foot house. I couldn't, for the amount that I paid for my house, I might be able to get like a closet in a really bad neighborhood in Seattle.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing too. Selfishly, besides the money, I just don't want to leave Belltown. Like,
yeah,
I love living down there.
It's a great spot.
Yeah. So yeah, TED Talk. It's expensive out there, folks.
TED Talk. If anyone has a place that they want to rent out for a very reasonable price,
right?
Reach out to the Ted Smith.
Yeah. Sorry, folks. That TED Talk was very personal.
It's okay. Sometimes we got to let it out.
You know what, though? I don't have a full poem. I'll end with a little rhyme or a riddle.
Oh, hold on, then. I got to get ready for that. All right, here we go. Hear ye! Hear ye! It is time for poetry with thee, Ted Smith.
A flute with no holes is not a flute, but a donut. No holes. It's a Danish.
Yum. Mega Cash, we'll be back.
Oh, wow. This is heavy and hard. Just how I like my men. Ha. Ha. The Mega Cast will return.
Raiders Nation, now you can buy used Oakland Raiders fan wear for cheap. Pirate heads, shoulder pads with skull and crossbones, skeleton helmets, chains, used black hole signs, and tons of black and silver face makeup. Even scary gorilla pirate masks, half off. Spikes for hair, spikes for wristbands, spikes for gloves, spikes for football gear, spikes for spikes. Buy two or more items and get a free banner that says, if you build it, we won't come. It's the Oakland Raiders former fan Emporium, right across from the same old crappy Oakland Stadium on Disappointment Boulevard. And coming soon, Mark Davis Voodoo Dolls, now open in Oakland until 2020.
Come on.
I'd love to ride a roller coaster. If that roller coaster's name is Ted. Ha. Ha. The Mega Cast is back. It's out of control.
Oh, yeah, she wants some of you.
Yeah. She's going to have to wait. Apparently, I'm busy moving.
Yeah. So if anyone can help Ted find a new apartment. I've heard before that there's, like, realtors that help people find rentals.
Yeah.
So if anyone knows anybody, reach out to Ted Smith.
Yeah, please.
We can't have Ted leaving Seattle. He'll never come back.
Right.
He'll be stuck in Federal Way with no way to get here.
I know. Like, have you seen Ted's new place? Like, yeah, it's awesome. It's like a 2-3-bedroom apartment. It's palatial. Like, but have you seen Ted? Like, no, man. He lives in Federal Way.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a car. I haven't seen him in months. I mean, I guess I'd see you and the donkeys more.
Yeah, you come hang out at the games. You can go get beers with us after the fact. That'd
be
awesome.
Become a fixture at the Red Robin in Federal Way.
Yum. It's funny. Grace is like flirting with you. Dude, I had... This is the greatest, like, okay, not the greatest moment of my life. Obviously, I've had a lot of great moments. And for me to say this is the greatest moment over my marriage might get me in a lot of trouble.
All right.
How often do you have women flirt with you?
Not enough.
Right. Out of the blue, they don't know who you are.
Oh, wait a minute. Right. It's not like at an event or something?
Right.
Oh, rarely.
Yeah, same. Never.
Yeah.
At least I'm also oblivious. This time, it was so over the top. Obvious.
Really?
And look, I'm not obvious. It just made me feel, you know how it felt? Made me feel good.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what in the hell? And it was like she was flustered. It happened at a Starbucks.
No kidding.
Greatest moment, man. It was hilarious.
Another customer or an employee?
No, barista.
Oh, nice.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Starbucks, not a bikini barista stand, but still.
All right.
And she was a pretty girl. It wasn't like as if, like, you know, I don't know why it matters, but it does. It does in a way. I mean, anyone, like, if you see someone that you think's attractive and they get flirty with you, it's like, wow, cool. That made me feel good. Thank you. Appreciate that. So, you know, I say hi, pay, all that. And then she's like looking to get my drink. She's like, how's your day? I'm like, it's good. You know, excited to get my slow roasted ham and Swiss. Let's go. I hate small talk, man. I just want my food and my drink, and I want to go.
Yeah.
And then she hands me my drink.
What time of day?
Like 10 a.m.
All right.
Right? So she hands me my drink, and then she's like, here's your smile. And I'm like, huh? And I was like, whatever. I don't know what the hell she's talking about. So I'm like, thanks. And she's like, I mean, coffee. I mean, you have a really nice smile.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, thank you. She's like, you're very handsome.
Oh!
She got flustered, and I'm like, I looked behind me like, is there another person in my car? And I'm like, oh, thank you very much. And got my drink and went on my merry way. But I was like, it made my day.
You're very handsome.
Here's your smile. I mean, your coffee. You have a nice smile. You're very handsome.
Like, yeah, I mean, dude, like, I've flirted with some girls, but I haven't been blatantly, like, I haven't seen a girl flustered like that in forever.
I'm like, for the whole time, like, of course, me being the man who hates himself, rest of the drive, I'm like, was she effing with me? Is there, like, some kind of hitting camera?
Oh, I'm picturing you driving away, eating this sandwich and drinking your coffee, like, you've just, like, tastes good. Tastes better when you're this attractive.
That moment lasted for like 30 seconds, and then all of a sudden the insecurities came in. There's no way that girl thought I was attractive. I should go back and say, what are you saying? What did you mean by that? Did you want more money for a tip? I'm kidding.
Right, go back in angry and aggressive.
How dare you say that I have a nice smile and then I'm handsome?
Chad, we killed a man on the way here.
Got a lot of people say they loved the Chad Smith interview, and they were convinced that all of us were stoned together.
I don't think Steve was stoned.
Steve is here, and he's not.
Yeah, I'm looking at
Steve is not stoned.
Right, I'm like, no, I was like, I probably was.
I don't think you were. We went
Maybe
straight.
Not. We did go straight there, didn't we?
We went straight from work.
Yeah, well, I didn't even have a beer before we did that.
No, we were like on a mission.
Yeah.
Even BJ, when we played back some of the interview, he's like, man, it sounds like you guys are just in a room token up.
That's so funny.
It was awesome.
I did laugh a little bit. I heard through the grapevine maybe Kiedis wasn't as as friendly.
Bro, I was honestly I think a lot of people when they find out like, okay, we're getting Chad Smith, this station's getting Anthony Kiedis, most people probably would be like, no, I'd rather Kiedis. Because he's the front man.
Yeah,
he's the face of the band, him and Flea.
Yeah.
I was like, when I was like, oh, thank God we got Chad over Kiedis. Like, I knew we would mesh way better with Chad than Kiedis.
Yeah, and I've said this before. Like, Miles and Thrill and the Men's Room as a show does awesome interviews. Mm-hmm. But there's only so much room for talk and questions.
Yeah.
So I usually kind of step back in those and can't. So there's been awesome interviews on the Men's Room, but as far as me like taking part in an interview, that was hands down. I don't know what knowledge we got out of it, but that was the funnest, like best interview I've been a part of.
I've said it. I told a lot of people. I'm like, that's, and it's no disrespect to all the, and you know, there's been a lot of great interviews I've been a part of. I mean, very, very lucky and very happy to be. And hell, I'm going to go interview a bunch of wrestlers in 2 days. That was the most fun I've had doing an interview, and I think it was just the buildup, the nerves. Who knows how it's going to go? They never do interviews with radio stations. The hurry up and wait, you know, all right. This. Who knows how it's going to go? And it went so well.
Right. And we were so deep backstage.
Yes. We went to the, we got to the final, like the last of all backstages, like as backstage as you can get.
Yeah. Cause yeah. I mean, I've done interviews before. I've done stage announcements at the Key and been backstage, but I've never been like that deep in the backstage world.
We were in their freaking rehearsal room.
Right. I know.
I saw somebody post a picture of a radio show in San Diego. One of the DJs over there, she posted a picture of her interviewing Chad, and he was on his drum throne.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that would have been fun. I don't regret anything about that interview because everything went so well and we had so much fun and he was such a cool guy. But then when we found out after the fact that typically he does it sitting on his drum set and sometimes we'll just start playing, I'm like, damn it. If our mics weren't already set up, he probably would have done that, but he saw all of our stuff set up and went beeline to the table.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it just starts. I mean, literally, when you hear that interview, that's just how it starts.
Oh, the minute he walked in, I hit record.
Yeah, and he just starts talking about the mics, and then boom, we were on.
And then it's just, yeah, it was so much random.
I get why people think it was three stone guys. And to this day, I don't know if Chad Smith even smokes weed.
This is just speculation.
Right.
It's not like he walked in with a bong or a joint and said, like, what's up, fellas?
No, right? Right? It's I pictured him now walking in the room just, hey, guys.
I just crushed a Royal Red Robin burger.
Right. I'll be dead honest with you. We were backstage for that long. I never smelled anything.
No, at all. And like I said, I mean, he just might be just that type of a dude. I mean, hell, we sounded stoned and we weren't.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And there's some bands you definitely smell it backstage.
Oh, for sure. My favorite stoned experience with a band, and unfortunately, it was the bassist of the Deftones who's no longer with us. He passed away. But when I was working at the end, we did an end session. And it was with the Deftones. And I got to ask, do like an interview while they were doing their performance. And I brought up something about, I was like, the first time I ever saw you guys is when you opened up for Kiss. And they all go, oh. And I'm like, yeah, it was 96. Kiss just reunited with the makeup. And I was so pumped. I went from Plattsburgh, New York, drove all the way to Albany. It was like 3 hours. Got there, had no idea you guys were playing until we walked in and saw the merch table. And it was a Deftones shirt. And I'm like, well, I don't think Kiss is just selling Deftones shirts. So I bought one immediately. I was like, got to get it. I was obsessed with the Deftones. It was like right around when their first album came out. And watched them. Crowd hated them. Hated them. Because it's not Kiss.
Yeah.
And the best part about that concert, and I brought it up to them. I'm like, but what? And they're like, yeah, oh yeah, we remember. I was like, best part is when you finish the set, Chino goes, we're the Deftones and we know we're effing good, and drops the mic. And I was like, yeah! I thought that was just such a gangster move. So we're all having a good time. End session's done. And then I think it was Kim Monroe, who was the music director and worked at the station. I think it was her at the time. She's like, hey, do you want to go back there and meet the band? I'm like, yes, of course. I'm a huge fan. So we walk back into like a little green room at this recording studio. Open up the door, the bass of the Deftones. First guy I see smoking a joint. And the whole room
nice.
Is just, yeah, it's just a cloud of smoke. I walk in and she's like, oh, this is Steve. And they're like, oh, hey, man. He's like, what's up, dude? And just gives me the joint. Now I'm in this weird dilemma of, well, I mean, I'm around people that are like work people.
Yeah.
But freaking one of my all-time favorite bands is handing me a joint. Time to smoke.
Yeah.
So I start smoking and BSing with the guys. End up having like a super long, deep conversation with Chino of the Deftones.
Nice.
And a stoner conversation about Weezer. Right?
All right.
So we're going off. Later on that night, they play the Mercer Arena, which unfortunately just got torn down. It sucks.
Yeah, last week.
What a bummer. Although, I don't even know what the hell they were doing there recently.
I don't either. I just crushed somebody the other night. Like, what? We were out, literally, the Mercer Arena, that was Thursday, I think they tore down. And Friday, I was having drinks and dinner before I went out.
Uh-huh.
And this guy goes, yeah, we saw a show at the Mercer Arena. What happened to that place? And I go, oh, they tore it down yesterday.
Oh,
I know. I was like, sorry. That's harsh.
Punch to the gut. I felt it too, man. Bill Wixey from Q13 posted on his Facebook page a video of it. And I'm watching this and going, oh, I got really kind of almost emotional. I saw so many great concerts there, man. It was such a great concert venue because it was almost like the Showwear Center.
I don't think I ever stepped foot in there.
Bro, I don't even think that since we've been at KSW, I don't think anything that we would want to go to has been going on there. It used to be used for Bumbershoot. A lot of bands that weren't big enough to fill up the Key Arena would play the Mercer Arena.
All right.
And it was great. So the Deftones played there later that night, which was great because I lived in Queen Anne at the time, which was low rent. Sorry, Ted. In fact, it was free because I was an apartment manager. Walked over there.
Yum.
And I'm about to do a stage announcement, and I'm waiting to do a stage announcement. You know, every band has... I mean, I never know if bands are picking it, but I think most headlining bands pick the music that's being played as the turnover.
In between.
Right.
Yeah.
All of Weezer, the Pinkerton album, is being played
on
the loudspeakers, right? And I'm like, whoa. And I'm about to do a stage announcement. I see Chino. I'm like, hey, man, good to see you again. He goes, playing this for you, man. I'm like... What? He goes, yeah, man, Weezer. You hear it? I'm like, give him a big bro hug. I'm like, yeah. Go out there. I'm like walking on cloud. Hey, I'm stoned out of my mind in front of a sold out room of Deftones fans. I'm like, yeah, I got high with the Deftones. I didn't say that, but that would have been a great stage announcement.
That's awesome.
It was great, dude. It was a good time. Let's see how much
I got to chug a beer with Chevelle once.
You also got the party with Shinedown. Did you not end up on their bus?
It was that concert, but that band was Operator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about those guys.
Yeah.
Who won in the chugging? I don't know if it was a contest.
It wasn't a contest. I just like, you know, you have like meet and greets.
Yeah.
So it was like pain in the grass. Chevelle, by the way, are like the nicest guys, and they were already done.
And they're so awesome live.
Right. So a buddy of mine who works, he was just like, I love Chevelle, but like my station never plays him. Can you get me an autograph? So I was like, sure. So I forget which record person it was, but as I was walking by, they were like, hey, do you want to get that picture or the autograph? And you want to get a picture with him? And I was like, sure. And then right then somebody like just handed out cans of beers. They're like, you want a beer? And I was like, yeah. I should say I chugged a bug beer with them. I think I got excited, just chugged it.
They're all sipping it.
Right. Like I don't even know if all three of them drink. I think it was only like one guy that is just like, oh, great to meet you guys.
That radio host is real aggressive with his drinking.
Right. I mean, he's excited, but
we would have let him hang out all night. He just crushed one beer and left. Crushed a beer, got a picture and an autograph and left. Right. That's pretty awesome, dude.
It is, right?
But what was it with the band Operator that so it was the Shinedown show?
Yeah.
And you ended up on their bus, and didn't the bus take you home?
Yes. I ended up on their bus. It was a Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
I was going through a rough part in my life, and they were like, just come to Spokane with us. And I was like, yeah. So we're driving the tour bus.
Wait, so you already agreed and you
guys...
Oh my God.
I'm on the bus. And then as we're start driving out of the city, I said, guys, I can't go. And they're like, where do you live? And I was so wasted. I couldn't even really get... Finally, eventually, we're just like on... What were we on? Like Oliver Bourne. And the driver's like...
I thought you were going to say we were in like North Bend or something.
No, and the guy's just like, hey, dude, I can't keep making turns. Like, this is a bus. And I was like, all right, just let me out. So then they let me out, and the next day I get like a call from the record person, and they're like, hey, Johnny Strong from Operator just wanted to check in. Or no, you know what? He had gotten my number, and he texted me the next day like, bro, you all right? We weren't positive that's where you live, but we had to get going. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm fine. You know what's funny? For like 3 years, somehow he would remember my birthday was on Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
And I would get a message from him.
No.
Yeah, that would be like, hey, Ted, man, what's up? And keep in mind, Johnny does not drink. He does not smoke weed, nothing. There was a couple guys in the band that liked to party.
Right.
So I was just like the animal that they had wound up and be like, give him another beer.
Blow smoke into his face. Put a bag over his head.
I remember that dude would call like 2 or 3 years in a row. I remember waking up on Christmas and be like, God damn, I got a message from Johnny again.
That's pretty awesome, dude.
Isn't it?
Do you even know what they're up to these days?
I don't.
They had a moment.
They did, man, because that was the first pain in the grass. They were at. Yeah.
Man, and they were good.
They were.
They were that, a great
band. I still play that CD sometimes. I like it.
Yeah, they were. I'll probably listen to them on the way home. They were solid, man.
Yeah.
I knew some of the story. I didn't realize that they just dropped you off somewhere and then he checked up on you.
Yeah.
That's a cool dude.
It was awesome. I also still just the surreal moment of being like, all right, just let me off here. And I think I was pretty close to my house, but I just.
I wish you would have went.
Yeah,
I really do, man. Could you imagine? Next thing you know, you're like, oh man, I'm in Spokane.
Right. And the thought process was, you know, they're getting me fired up, but it's like, you work at a rock station. This is the most rock and roll thing you could do. Your boss won't care.
Was it a weeknight?
It was a Sunday night.
Oh, geez.
And I mean, this was, God. I mean, listen, I was faded on Sunday, but I was still okay.
Right.
Steve can attest. This was way back in the day when things would get a little
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is like still going through that first breakup.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's the most rock and roll thing you can do. You're right, man. Take me to Spokane.
I want to be.
We don't even make the highway. Just, guys, let me out.
If we ever become a touring band, which I know seems very possible,
yeah,
that should be our thing. Like, whatever town we go into, you get interviewed by the DJ, and then the goal is to convince that guy to go with you to the next city.
Yeah.
Just to see if they will. That would be so. Like, if I was like in you, like, I'm thinking about like what band, like if Pearl Jam did that, I don't even care if I work the next day. I'd be like, I'm coming, and you guys, whenever you want me to leave is when I'll go home.
Right. I think that was the realization I had was somewhere on the bus ride to get on the highway. I was kind of like, well, how am I going to get home? And they're like, oh, we can't help you with that. I remember somebody on the, I can't remember if it was Johnny. One of them was like, dude, seriously, like we can't get you home. We could take you out there. And it was
right.
Like, all right, I better get out.
And you could have got a flight home.
I mean, I could have. Yeah.
It's not that expensive from Spokane. But I mean, obviously, yeah, that would not be ideal.
No.
First thing in the morning. You probably could have gotten a flight first thing in the morning. And, well, you'd have to wake up. That would be the hard part. Johnny would have woke you up.
Well, let's be honest. I would have gotten to Spokane, hung over, and have been like, well, you got to stay for the show. And at some point Tuesday morning, it's just like, I don't know where I've slept to Monday night. And now I'm at the Spokane airport trying to get a flight.
Right? Most people call in sick. Ted's calling in because I'm in Spokane. Operator kidnapped me.
Yeah.
I love that, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a fun night.
Let's take a quick break. When we get back, I want to play some audio from Brandon Marshall from what team is he on? Is he on the Giants now?
Yeah, he just switched from the Jets.
Jets to the Giants. Yeah. I love that dude. And
actually, I'm a fan of his as well.
He's great on the NFL Network.
He's great on Inside the NFL.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I just dig the dude. I was kind of bummed when he was free agent. I was like, that'd be kind of cool if the Seahawks pick him up. I mean, they don't need it, but, you know, I just dig what that guy does. And I love how he's just upfront about, hey, man, I was young and dumb. I've said some dumb things over time.
Thank you.
But I've grown up and matured. I think it's lame when people continue to pigeonhole somebody for their actions when they're in their early 20s and they're rich as F and they're mega millionaires, superstar football players, and haven't yet learned to grow up yet.
Yeah. I mean, I forgive people for 27 and want to hop on tour buses, Steve.
That's right. So the Mega Catch will be back. We got some great audio from Brandon Marshall and how he reacted to seeing a buddy of his buck naked when the Mega Catch returns.
It's hard to loot and persuade when you're a f***ing robot. But at least I have a sexy Australian accent. The Mega Cast will be back.
Can't believe it! I got $587 for my artificial knee, and all I had to do was tear it out of my leg with some pliers.
Turn your medical implants, hips, knees, plates, screws, even dental implants, into cold hard cash at cashforimplants.com.
I had no idea that my teeth were worth so much.
with titanium, vitalium, cobalt, and other exotic implant metals at record highs, now may be the best time to decide what you need more, a working left knee or cash, cash, cash. CashForImplants.com pays top dollar for your medical implants. And because we own our own refinery, we can cut out the middleman when it comes to melting down your medical implant and then straining out all the random bits of bone and scar tissue. And that means more cash in your gaping wound hole.
Wow! I just traded my grandmother's pacemaker for an Xbox 360!
So don't let that titanium spine implant go to waste just sitting in your back. Put it to work by turning it into cash at CashForImplants.com.
My uncle was dead anyway, and nobody at the funeral even noticed.
Turn your medical implants into cash at CashForImplants.com.
I want Ted and Steve to return. I also want to be a human, but I'm stuck being a robot. The Megacast is back.
Yum, yum.
Red Robin.
Bird.
Onion Tower.
Royal Red.
Frickles.
Whiskey River.
Chicken Wrap.
Bottomless Fries. Whoop, whoop. Bottomless. We got to do all.
We got to make the. What are we making like?
Oh, our
old man like raps.
We should do a Red Robin trap rap song.
Right, but we got to do our pizza song, right?
We got to do our pizza song. We also have our diss track against Geek Nation. Over the weekend, I was here at the radio station with Cody from The End.
All right.
And my buddy Jim from Defy Wrestling and Matt Farmer, who's a former wrestler. Great dude. Does Indie-rific. It's a really good podcast with our boy James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, with Vanderbeek.
Yeah, with Jeremy.
I'm excited to talk to Farmer at Defy.
Dude, Farmer's a good dude. I'll make sure to introduce you to him.
Yeah, because I mean, we're always together on social media, but I'm not positive that I've actually hung out with him.
I've never met him until Defy One.
All right.
So him and Cody are going to be the announcers for Defy. So we went and did post-production because, you know, we already filmed all the stuff. And it actually drops on Friday. Defy One is going to be available, defyondemand.com.
Nice.
And so we came here to record all of the play-by-play stuff, and I helped produce it and put it all together. We get here on a Sunday, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll have plenty of places to record. We get here, we walk up, we walk to the production room that we were going to use, which is the one right attached to KISW. And who's in there?
Nerds.
So we
all of them?
There was a room full of nerds. So we get up to it. I forget that not everyone knows our inside joke with the joking, like, nerds, right?
Right.
So I look in, they're like, I'm like, oh, it's being used. Like, oh, who's using it? I'm like, nerds. And they all look at me like, geez, Steve. I'm like, oh, no. It's just a joke because they do Geek Nation. Not really, like, I'm not Ogre from Animal House or from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
It's just that's what we call them. But yeah, we recorded it all. It turned out great. Cody and Matt were awesome. Matt.
Yeah, Cody's a stud.
So good.
I love that dude.
He is such a good dude. He's on Nights on 107.7 The End.
Actually, everybody over there is awesome.
You're
Melissa's
right.
Super cool. Yep. Gregor's a man. Yep. Manley's a dope dude.
Manley's a genius.
Yeah.
Like when you see some of the stuff that my favorite thing that he, because not only is he on the air, but he also is behind the scenes, coordinates a lot of stuff, like comes up with a lot of these great ideas at The End comes up with. One of the best radio promotions I've ever experienced was the 21 Pilots end session that they did in our conference room over there. It was like at 5 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And what they did, for those that don't listen to The End, that don't know the backstory, they had a bunch of people win passes to come to the station to be a part of a Skype interview with 21 Pilots.
Yeah.
So that's how you know you have a super fan, that you're trying to win tickets to come to a room where you can watch on Skype your favorite band answer questions that you might have for them. So they show up, all this. Skype comes on. They got the projector. It's the members. It's like Tyler from 21 Pilots. And then all of a sudden, the connection cuts out. And everyone's like, what the hell's going on? And this is all Manly's idea. So everyone's like, what the hell's going on?
I did not realize it was all his idea.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Next thing you know, walking out of the curtain, 21 Pilots, the band. I got goosebumps right now talking about it, bro. I mean, if you're...
That event over there was the most Beatle-like thing I've ever heard.
Yes. And it was like a room full of, you know, 16-year-old girls and a 40-year-old man named Steve freaking the F out. I knew. So, but I was like, I got kind of caught up because all these kids are crying. And I'm like, man, that's so cool that that band has that much power and can evoke that kind of emotion from their fans. And then they did a couple of songs, like three or four songs, and answered questions and took pictures.
And they were big, but that seemed like that was right before they went into the stratosphere.
On the cusp. The album just came out.
Yeah.
It was doing really well. They were able to sell out WAMU. Or the Neptune. But now
they'll headline Key.
Yeah, they'll sell out the Key if they wanted to. They could probably sell out Sasquatch if they were the headliner.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great band.
Probably could have sold out the Mercer Arena.
If they didn't tear it down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Brandon Marshall's in the news because, well, I love this. I don't know if you've seen the picture of Jay Cutler. It's out there. His girlfriend, or his wife, Kristen Cavallari, which that doesn't suck. Good for Jay.
Now, does it bug you at all that she keeps releasing? Like, did he okay this is my only question.
That's a good question.
I read an article once that was just saying, they were just saying there's some kind of sign. Like, you really shouldn't post pictures of, like, your partner sleeping or, like,
I wouldn't.
Shots of them that they don't know.
I would never. I have a great picture of Sid. I don't know if I saved it. Of Sid and Lulu, both using my stomach as a pillow.
Oh, nice.
It's a cute picture. And I was like, oh, that'd be kind of funny to put like maybe on like Lulu's Instagram. I think I deleted it already. Oh, no, there it is. Here, I'll show it to you because, you know, you're part of the family.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Isn't that cute?
Yeah, but you're right. I think you follow the right idea path there. And you're like, I'm not going to post that.
And all you see is my wife's hair, a little bit of her forehead, and her glasses that are on.
Yeah.
But they're both asleep on my stomach, my big ass stomach. And Lulu's out. And it's a great picture.
Cold.
And I think it's adorable, and it'd be funny on Lulu's Instagram. Like, yep, mom and me sleeping on dad's stomach, something like that. I don't know. Lulu writes them. I have no idea what she writes on her Instagram, but I would assume she would write something like that. But I'm like, I ain't taking no chances. So you're right, dude. This picture, I mean, you don't see his dong or anything, but he's buck naked on like a ledge looking out into an ocean.
I mean, right. From what it looks like, either he just got up or like they just had sex and he's just on the deck chilling.
Right. Which I don't know about you. I mean, granted, I don't have the body of Jay Cutler, but I don't necessarily just walk around buck naked looking out into nature.
I don't.
But if I look like him, maybe I would.
Yeah, or maybe we just haven't stayed at a place that cut off from everything else.
Yeah, typically where I'm staying, the person in the room next to us can open up the door and stand right next to us.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be kind of weird.
He's a little secluded.
Well, Instagram pulled the picture down because, you know, it violates their nudity policy, which is so silly, but whatever.
Yeah, man. Over on Twitter, you can see everything.
Isn't that funny?
I will say, though, now that I'm on Instagram, sometimes on Twitter when I'm scrolling through, it does shock me. Like, oh, there's genitalia.
Right. There's full penetration, a video of penetration.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
We know people that do videos like that, and it's awesome to see.
Yeah.
But on Instagram, you can't even show it.
No.
It's getting shut down.
Shut it down.
So, Brandon Marshall is somewhere. And, of course, TMZ's everywhere. And typically, I get annoyed with TMZ walking up to a celebrity and asking them questions. You can usually hear the impatience in the voice of the celebrity. For some reason, Brandon Marshall's like fully like, hey, man, what's up? Like,
yeah.
Super nice. And the TMZ guy pulls out the picture of Jay Cutler, who I guess they were buddies. You know, I think they went to college together.
And didn't they play together in Denver?
Maybe that's what it is. Okay, maybe I'm not exactly sure, but his old Broncos running buddy. I guess they used to be good buddies when they were on the Broncos.
Yeah.
And shows Brandon Marshall the video, or the picture, and Brandon hadn't seen it before.
So this is just his reaction.
This is his reaction.
Nice, I haven't heard this.
Bro, it is freaking hilarious. Okay, so here, I'll just start it from the beginning.
Yo, Brandon, what do you think about Jay Cutler's wife posting nude pics of him on her Instagram? Did you see them?
She didn't post any nude pics.
She did. I'll show it to you.
No, she didn't.
So he's got right there, like, typically any celebrity sounds, I mean, I don't know if you saw there was like a video of Warren Moon, and he was just like annoyed by fans. Like,
oh.
And I guess TMZ's bugging him too. So, I mean, the fact I would be annoyed by TMZ too, but I thought it was pretty interesting that like Brandon's just like, hey man, yeah, show me the picture.
Yeah, and he's already transitioning after he's done, so he gets it.
He's getting ready to be a broadcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll show you. Hold on. What's it?
Like straight news or like
yeah, watch.
Crop top news.
One second. This, right there. What you think, man?
Please look at this.
What, any thoughts?
She didn't do this.
She did. Kristen Cavallari posted it.
Jay, what the hell are you doing? Jay Cutler.
Yeah, right now he's about to give like a little message to Jay.
I just like his reaction to it. That's just a buddy being like, now his wife didn't really do this. Like, oh yeah, she did.
Yeah, he goes, he has the same thought as us.
Yeah.
You don't do that. You don't post something without their permission. It's not worth the headache.
No.
Jay Cutler, I've known you since we got drafted in 2006. What the hell are you doing? And he got the watch on. All right, bro.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Have a good night, all right?
I mean, we could be wrong. Maybe he wanted to pose for that picture. That just seems weird.
He's right. Why is he still wearing a watch?
I'm telling you,
dude. Is it a Fitbit? It looks like a Fitbit.
That or I honestly think like maybe this is just a post-sex picture.
And he's like, banged a really hot chick. That's my wife.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I know they're married and stuff. You're married, but still, you're on vacation. It's the middle of the day. You just had sex. That's, I mean, just look at his body language. He's like, I'm a man looking out here.
No one can see what we're doing, but we both got our hands on our hips and we're like looking out into the sunlight.
Yeah. Ah.
And then his old buddy, Brandon Marshall, goes.
Jay, what the hell are you doing?
That's a great reaction, too. He goes high-pitched, like, oh, what are we doing here?
Jay, what the hell are you doing?
I wonder how many people are giving Jay Cutler a crap for that. You got to imagine.
Oh, a ton.
I would, if one of my buddies... Like, if any of the donkeys, if that came out, we would all be, one of our guys on our team, his wife posted a picture of their feet on Instagram. It's a picture of like their shoes and it's like, hey, it's National Nike Day. Check us out. And it's a picture of him wearing Nikes and her wearing Nikes, right?
All right.
Of course, who screenshots it and puts them on blast on the group text? Give you one guess.
You?
No.
Oh, Munson?
Yep.
But for what? Because they posted a picture of their shoes?
He's like, that's a really cute picture. just nothing awful, but like really cute if you guys post pictures of your feet.
God, I was dying. That is ruthless. Can't even post a nice picture.
So imagine if somebody did that.
Yeah.
Like we're giving each other a hard time over a picture of feet.
Ugh. I can't wait till one of the donkeys shows up with a joint account. I'll never hear the end of that.
Do you want to hear something really funny?
All right.
So, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's it. That was really funny. No, I'm kidding.
I've been working on my Trump, by the way.
Oh, let me hear it.
Getting the Royal Red. A lot of people are telling me it's one of the best burgers you'll ever have.
You were doing that at the Red Robin.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Tower of Onion Rings. There's four of you that'll work out fine. We're going to replace, repeal, Frickles.
So there's a guy who's putting together songs based off of, he's inspired by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, like a few months ago, there was a video that was spreading online and it was hilarious. If you just look up Donald Trump emo tweets.
Yeah.
Somebody took all of his tweets back in the day and turned them into lyrics for a really, really a dead on impression of an emo song. Here's how it sounded.
Just had a very open and successful presidential election. Now professional protesters incited by the media are protesting. Very unfair. Very unfair. I would enjoy an even better empty election if that is possible. If the winner was based on popular vote. Campaign to win the electoral college.
That's all right. Look, just stop. I'm gonna say this is the other horrible thing. What's going on right now? Is like, that's funny, but it's also just like, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat.
Right.
At what point do you look at the president and just go, dude,
get off Twitter.
You lost the popular vote. You won the Electoral College. There was not millions of illegal people. Like, just why does it matter? Right? Like, why? Like, you have presidential stuff to do now. Like, why are we still talking about this?
Bro, I have the hard time because it's like, I'm in this constant struggle of following him on Twitter, getting annoyed and unfollowing him, then being like, oh, man, I kind of want to know what he's doing, putting him back on, then muting him because I'm like, why are you tweeting?
Yeah.
Stop tweeting. Just stop tweeting and stop tweeting in all caps.
Yeah. And it just... Sometimes it just goes to his character as a person. You know, Mike Hawk that works on our show, right?
Yeah.
He's a Republican. So we talk about this stuff all the time.
Sure.
I just don't understand why he has to bring it up. And why does everything have to be over the top? Why can't you just say, hey, let's take Obamacare, right? If it's that bad and everybody hates it, go, look, Obamacare, we got it. You know, we're going to get rid of it.
Sad.
Now, this plan isn't as great, but it's better than what we have now. But we never get that. It's always, it's going to be the greatest plan. People are telling me, it's just like,
yeah,
Jesus Christ. Like, every appointee, probably the greatest appointee ever. Like, no. Like, come on. You like to
He's
call
like
somebody.
Me after I go to a concert that I love. I'm like, that was the greatest concert I've ever been to.
Yeah, right?
But I'm not talking about other people in my cabinet.
Right.
I'm talking about Alice in Chains live.
Yeah, and you got to wait to see what the guy in the cabinet does before...
Jay Cutler.
In retrospect, you can go, that was maybe the greatest cabinet pick ever.
Jay Cutler put out the best naked picture of himself ever.
Yeah.
Jay, what the hell are you doing?
So, I think it's the same person who made that. And the sad part is, bro, in my 20s, I would have loved that song. Like, that song. It's a great, very well-crafted emo song. So this time around, the guy took speeches that Donald Trump has said. So it's not tweets. He found speeches, and whoever made the video is really did a great job. So they have the speech video basically lip syncing along to the song.
All right.
And so he grabbed parts from the speech and turned it into an acoustic emo song. So it sounds like Dashboard Confessional or that Rise Against Swing Away song.
All right.
All right, here we go.
The media is so dishonest and so corrupt. The pile on is so amazing. The whole thing is one big fix. One big fix.
So
it's one big ugly lie. It's one big fix. The press can't. Which are lies, lies, lies. Stories of fabrications and false. They're right lies, they're right false stories. They're false, it makes no difference. And frankly, our country is going to hell. I've always been thin-skinned, the tone is such hatred.
The funny part is that line came from an old speech or an interview that he did back like probably like 20 years ago when he was talking about being thin-skinned.
Yeah.
And then it matches up what he's about to say is Donald now is talking about how thick-skinned he is.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny how they put it together.
I've been thin-skinned from day one. The tone is such hatred. I don't have thin skin. I have very strong, very thick skin. And I don't call it thin-skinned. I'm angry. I'm very angry.
It's just great. So well done.
It is.
I mean, we could have heard that on the end like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even realize it was taking lyrics from a president.
Taking the lyrics from his mouth.
He's giving us good content.
Yeah.
But you know, someone out there is upset that you're talking about him.
Yeah, I know. You can't say anything.
No, you really can't. It's fascinating how just the word elicits vitriol on both ends. Someone's angry at you for either goofing on him or someone's angry at you for even bringing up that name because they don't want to ever hear it again.
Yeah.
So Trump away. Trump, Trump, Trump. Trump, 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 Trump.
Right. I know.
Trump.
And it's funny, right? If I say anything bad about Trump, I'm a snowflake. It's like, you're the same little bitches that wouldn't shut up about Obama not being an American or thanks, Obama. Thanks, Obama. Right? But if I say anything about Trump, right? I'm a snowflake. And
Jay,
by the way,
what the hell are you doing?
I barely even knew that term cuck until those people started using it. Y'all been downloading some weird porn. Literally, I had to be like, is that really what they're referencing? Like, Jesus, dude.
I haven't looked at the porn.
When they keep calling people that don't like Trump, he's like snowflake, or you're such a... they're saying C-U-C-K.
Cuck.
Right. For cuckold, okay. Which is a term in porn where you as a white man specifically have a black man have sex with your wife.
Jay, what the hell are you doing?
Right? But they use that term. Now that. You've probably seen that term, right?
I have. And I just... You know, sometimes you just kind of accept a word and you just assume, well, I should know it, but I don't, so I'm just going to ignore it.
Yeah.
I never bothered to look it up. That's what it means.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, right? Whoa. So it's like, if you keep throwing that slur out of
you. Guys, just mad a bitch.
Right? Like, so what have you been downloading at home?
Well, I did see a story that says there's three types of porn users. Which one are you? Here are the types. Recreational. That's 75% of the people. They watch it on an average of 24 minutes or less of porn a week. 24 minutes of or less of porn a week. That's not me. All right, I'm not recreational. Distressed, 12%. They watch an average of 17 minutes a week, but feel super guilty about it.
That's probably me.
Compulsive. Usually to a point where it's a problem. They watch an average of 110 minutes of porn a week, rearrange their schedule to watch, and sometimes see it affect their life. I feel like there's more than three.
Yeah.
I feel like I guess recreational, I guess.
I don't know. But the problem is when I watch porn, I'm probably watching it for like 5 minutes and I turn it off. All right, I got
to
go.
I know. I was about to say, we should probably get out of here.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Follow us at the Megacast.
Yeah. Good luck on your adventures at WrestleMania.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, dude.
I'm sure I'll be texting you some weird stuff.
Nice.
All right, let's get 10, Mega Family. Live it up, so give me the green
light. I go.
I'm trying to slow down, but my body's sore from working out yesterday.
Yeah, you started out quick.
I know. I did squats.
Oh, you gotta be. You're that. The back of your legs are on fire.
The worst is in the morning. You forget you did
trying
the squats.
To poop?
No, walking down the stairs.
Yeah.
I almost tipped over and hurt Lulu. All right, thank you guys for listening. As always, we'll see you next time.
Jay, what the hell are you doing?